You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
As we go through the 13th chapter of Yevamot, we're engaged in not just a definition of Yibum, of levirate marriage, but we're really engaged in a definition of marriage itself. And we're playing around with the different kinds of marriage. We're playing around with what I think the commentators would say is marriage by Torah law and marriage by rabbinic law. Now, this is a stretch of the imagination, of course, because the Torah doesn't specifically prescribe a particular way of getting married. I mean, it refers to ki kach ish isha, when a man takes a woman. So there's clearly some kind of process going on here. But we don't really know what it is. The rabbis learn from the verses that we can get married via, for example, by handing over silver. They learn this out from the transaction that Avraham carries out on behalf of Sarah when he buys the burial cave for Sarah. He hands over silver to Ephron. And he says about the silver, kach mimeni, take the silver from me. And the rabbis learn out from the use of the word kach in his transaction in purchasing a burial plot for his wife, and the use of the expression ki kach ish isha, the same verb, kach, when a man takes a wife. The rabbis learn out that marriages can be performed by handing over silver. So the rabbis try to learn these out from the Pasukim, and we can think of this as Torah law marriage. But there are other marriages which are only ordained by rabbinic decree. And we've learned, for example, that an orphan, someone who's below the age of majority, so she can't accept the silver, she can't accept the ring, the kiddushin on her own behalf, and someone whose father is dead, so he can't accept the kiddushin on her behalf. Someone who's in that situation actually can't get married at all by Torah law. Now, the rabbis allow her brothers or her mother to marry her off. But that marriage doesn't have the same status as the marriage of an adult woman who herself had legal capacity to accept the kiddushin. And similarly, for a deaf mute, the rabbis have essentially a presumption that a deaf mute person isn't someone who understands fully what's going on in the world. And so she doesn't have mental capacity to accept the kiddushin for the marriage, although the rabbis do allow, from a rabbinic point of view, for her to get married. But so these kinds of marriages of orphans and of deaf mutes are somehow at a lower level of stickiness, lower level of permanence than a regular marriage, according to what the rabbis would say is Torah law, when an adult man in full command of his senses gives an adult woman in the full command of her senses a ring and says, Hareyat Mukudashet, as we do today. And the Mishnah is going to play around with these nuances in terms of their impact on Yibum, on levirate marriage. And we're going to pick up then in the 8th Mishnah, Mishaya Nasui Shtei Yitomot Ktanot, Umeit, someone was married to two minor orphans. So he has two wives, they're both minors and they're both orphans. So these are both rabbinic marriages. Now, the previous Mishnah, I remember, talked about two brothers who were married to two minor orphans. And we learned that effectively, neither one of these minor orphans was liable for Yibim or Chalitza because of, we know you can't marry your wife's sister, even if your wife is only rabbinically married to you. You still can't marry your wife's sister. So now we got one person, one man who's married to these two minor orphans. And we're going to presume that he has a brother who can perform Yibim or Chalitza because, and the Mishnah doesn't say this explicitly. It just says, Mishayana sui shtei tamokta not umate, someone who was married to two minor orphans and died. But we must presume that there's a surviving brother somewhere. And we must also presume that he's died childless. because we are going to talk about now about chalitza. So if we're going to talk about chalitza, then he must have died childless. And in fact, if they're minor orphans, then we can kind of assume that unless he had some older wife, some other wife, maybe a third wife in the background, unless he's got some other wife, we can kind of assume that he's died childless because, you know, they're not going to, these two kids aren't going to produce children for him. Let's read on in the Mishnah. So he's died. Biatar ochilat zatar she'achat mehem poteret sarata. Intercourse or chalitza with one of them exempts the rival. Just as for adults, just as for adult women, adult wives, if there are two widows, only one of them has to perform chalitza or yibum. As soon as one of them has performed chalitza or yibum, the other one is exempt. So we know that even though this is only a rabbinic marriage, somehow it seems powerful enough for the widow who's married in this way to exempt her fellow wife, her rival, the Mishnah calls it, Sarata. Even though it's only a rabbinic marriage, it's powerful enough for the widow to exempt her rival from chalitza or yibum, just as if the two brothers are married to two sisters, their rabbinic minor orphan systems, their rabbinic marriage is sufficiently strong, so actually they're both exempted completely from the mitzvah of yibum and chalitza. And the Mishnah goes on to say, v'chein shtei chershot, and it's exactly the same with two deaf women. Their marriage status is less strong than that of an adult woman. Nevertheless, yibum or chalitza with one of them will exempt the rival. Now, what if we mix those up? What if we start to mix up the combinations now? Ketana v'chereshet. What about one minor and one deaf woman? So this guy is married to a minor orphan, and his second wife is a deaf mute. So they're both marriages are rabbinic marriages, but for different reasons. And interestingly, the rabbis take the view that they don't know which of these really takes precedence. And that creates a big problem. That creates a problem. Perhaps the deaf mute takes precedence because it seems like she's an adult. So, for example, he can have a sexual relationship with her straight away. But even though she's an adult, she'll always be a deaf mute, and so her marriage is of uncertain status. Whereas the minor, well, when the minor becomes of age, if she hasn't refused the husband, she's got the right to refuse the husband. But if she hasn't refused the husband, then she will become fully married by Torah law. So her marriage will kind of take precedence. And because the rabbis aren't sure which of these bonds is stronger, the Mishnah rules, Ein biyat achat mehem poteret sarata. A sexual yibum with one of them does not free the other. Perhaps the other one is the real wife. Perhaps the other one's a real wife, and the one whom he had intercourse with is just kind of rabbinically married. So it doesn't work. Exactly the same. Pikacha becheresheth. What about one of sound senses and one who's deaf mute? Now we're going to see the principles by which the rabbis are operating, because the stronger bond always takes precedence. So pikacha becheresheth. One wife of sound senses and one wife who's deaf. And remember, the husband's died. So it's going to be up, and he's childless. So it's going to be up to the brother to perform yibum uchalitza. Biyata pikacha poteret es achereshet. So intercourse with the woman of sound senses, i.e. yibum, exempts the one who, the deaf mute. Ve'ein biyata achereshet poteret es pikacha. But yibum with the deaf one, intercourse with the deaf one, wouldn't exempt the woman of sound senses. Because we're essentially, the rabbis are saying, look, you can't have a weak marriage. You can't have someone who's in a rabbinic marriage, a sort of second strength marriage, exempt the widow who's in a full strength marriage. Maybe she's not married at all. Maybe, you know, it's a rabbinic institution. Maybe she's not married at all. That's essentially the thinking of the rabbis. And it plays out too with a major and a minor, gedolah u'ktana. one adult and one minor. Maybe he's married to one adult and one orphan. The intercourse with the adult exempts the minor. But it doesn't work the other way around. Intercourse with a minor doesn't exempt the adult from chalitza or yibum. What if the brother tried to carry out yibum with both of them? And we've seen this actually in some of the early passages in Yevamot. Is it possible to do yibum with two? If your brother has died childless and he's left two widows, can you perform yibum with both of them or chalitza with both of them? And the Mishnah says, actually, well, anyway, there's a discussion in the Mishnah, I think, in one of the early chapters of Yevamot, as to whether chalitza is possible after chalitza. Can you do chalitza twice, basically? And this is a question that we're going to address now, but we're going to address this in the context of these marriages of differential status. Mishahaya nasui shtei yotamot ketanot. So someone's married to two minor orphans, umate, and he died. Baha Yavam el Harishona, v'chazar uva al hashnia. So the Yavam had intercourse with one, and then he had intercourse with the other. So essentially, we've done Yibum twice here. And we can't do Yibum twice. Once, soon as we've done Yibum once, You've done yibum once. You can't do it again. You can't do it again. Or shiba achiv amashnia. Maybe his brother had intercourse with the second one. So between these two brothers, they've done yibum twice. One brother with one woman, and one brother with the other woman. Lo fasalat arishon. He hasn't disqualified the first. I.e., he can still get married to the first. This is a puzzling statement. What's the Mishnah saying here? It's saying that we don't know which of these two, we don't know whether yibum with a minor works. If yibum with a minor does work, then the first intercourse makes the widow the wife of her brother-in-law. And the second intercourse, well, it's got no legal significance at all. It's just promiscuity, the commentators would say. It has no significance at all. So he still remarried to the first one. If, on the other hand, we're saying that yibum with a minor doesn't work at all, then he's not married to the first and he's not married to the second. So he can still marry the first. So either way around, he can still go back to the first wife. And it's the same with a deaf mute or two deaf mutes. V'chein shtei chershot, same with two deaf mutes. What if we mix up the categories a bit? K'tanah v'chereshet, what about a minor and a deaf mute? Ba'yavam l'k'tanah v'char, v'chazar uval achereshet. So the Yavam had intercourse with the minor and then had intercourse with the deaf mute. It's exactly the same situation. We're going to play out the same case study. Or shiba achiv al achereshet. Maybe his brother had intercourse with the. Maybe his brother had intercourse with the deaf mute. So essentially, the two brothers have performed yibum on the two widows. We don't quite know what the status is in the Mishnah rules. Lo fasalet haketana. He hasn't disqualified the minor from marrying him. In other words, the first one he had intercourse with. And the reasoning is exactly the same. We don't know rabbinically whether leveret marriage with a minor works, but if it does work, then the subsequent intercourse with a deaf mute has no effect. And if it doesn't work, he's free to marry both of them. So he can still marry the first one. What about the other way around? This is going to be where the Mishnah, if you like, puts its final point. So the Yavam has intercourse with the deaf widow, the deaf mute widow. And then he also had intercourse with the minor. Or maybe his brother had intercourse with the minor. Pasal et acharesed. He's disqualified the deaf one. What does that mean? It means somehow that the subsequent intercourse with the minor somehow knocks out the intercourse with the deaf one, with the deaf mute. And the rabbis seem to be saying here, look, we're not sure. We're not sure whether or not intercourse with a minor works for Yibum. But we do know that as soon as she becomes of age, then she can become his real legal wife. So in other words, at some point in the future, she will be his real wife. Whereas the deaf mute will never really become his kind of real life according to Torah law, because she's always going to be a deaf mute. So the rabbis are saying, look, in terms of stickiness, in terms of solidity, the Yibum with a minor is stickier than the Yibum with the deaf mute widow. The minor widow somehow takes precedence over the deaf mute widow. And that means if he carried out Yibum with the deaf mute and then with the minor one triumphs and the deaf mute is essentially is knocked down. And of course, she can't marry the deaf mute, although she can then, of course, marry anyone else who she likes.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.